16 this evening, Exodus chapter number 16 this evening, and as you turn to this passage of Scripture, I will say at the onset of the message this evening that the content of Exodus 16 is familiar to many believers. It is here in Exodus chapter number 16 that we read about the manna that God provided for His people. And what an amazing, miraculous, matter of provision this was for the people of God. And we find that as we look at the passage of Scripture, that as God revealed His plan to Moses, really as we see specifically in verse number 4, God said this, He said that I may prove them whether they will walk in My law or no. Isn't that interesting? God said to Moses, here's the plan that I'm going to give. I understand the current situation. I am aware of these things. I've heard the murmuring of the people. And here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I am going to work. But in so doing, I'm going to prove them. I'm going to prove them. He said that I may prove them whether they will walk in My law or no. As we read the passage of Scripture, we read of the record of the miraculous provision, but we also find how God would test His people. The word prove means to test or to try. As a backdrop to the event here that's recorded in Exodus chapter number 16 and the miracle that is here, we would certainly understand that this group of people, the children of Israel that are living and breathing during Exodus chapter number 16, these people had seen God work miraculously. These people are the very people that were in bondage in Egypt that cried out to God, and God, through the series of plagues, had demonstrated His power. We find that they come to the Red Sea, and of course the Red Sea is before them, and the army of the Egyptians is behind them. And yet again, God would work miraculously and deliver them and allow them to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. After they sing in Exodus chapter number 15, the song of Moses is referred to, and they are jubilant in exalting the Lord for all the work that He did. We find that the chapter ends in Exodus chapter number 15 with complaining about the bitter water of Marah. And it's there that God healed the waters. And we come to chapter number 16, and again we see that this group of people that had experienced and had been eyewitness of what God had done and how God had worked miraculously, that once again they're confronted with a trial. They're confronted with a problem. They murmur, they complain, and God is going to supernaturally provide for them. But in that provision, there was a test. This evening, I ask myself the question, and I want you to ask yourself this question. It's the title of the message this evening. Would you have passed the test? Would you have passed the test? The reality is that I believe that my immediate answer, and maybe your immediate answer, we would like to say, yes, absolutely, I would have passed the test. But I hope that we do some serious evaluation this evening. That we would really consider and not just give an answer that's an off-the-cuff kind of an answer, an immediate response. See, the reality is that there are times even today in our lives that God is testing us. He's proving us. And many times we don't even know it. We have no idea. It's one thing when the professor says you're going to have a test next Thursday, and here's the content of the subject matter that will be covered on the test, and you have some time to prepare. You're aware of it. There was a professor that we had in college. His name was Dr. Bish, and he was a happy-go-lucky fella. He had been a pastor for a number of years at a church, and he'd retired, and he was teaching in Bible college, and he was a well-loved professor. He really was. And he is just, and he was a knowledgeable man. He was a practical man. But every once in a while, he'd walk into class. And I remember the very first time he ever walked into class this way. And he walked in like this. And he was, you just thought he was happy. Right? And he says, you know what that is? No idea. It was the first time I'd ever seen him do it. He said, that's a pop test. Put your books away. Take out a paper and pencil. And you know what happened? Everyone said, oh. Why? I had not prepared. I had not studied. I had not planned for that test. I would submit to you this evening that the children of Israel, the congregation, Moses understands, as God says to Moses, I'm going to prove them. But the children of Israel, the people, I don't think they knew that this was a test. God was proving them. Notice with me in verse number 1, as we dig into the passage of Scripture, the Bible says, they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. Now you understand, it says here, on the 15th day of the second month, 75 days roughly, yeah? Since they had seen great miracles in the land of Egypt, since they had crossed over the Red Sea on dry land, and the Bible says in verse number 2, if you're taking notes, number 1, the problem. We're going to spend most of our time on the final point this evening, so that we can grab the entire context. In verses 2 and 3, the problem is given to us. The Bible says, the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. Now, many of you, if you are familiar with the Scriptures, you understand that while they were in Egypt, they were complaining about the hardship of Egypt. Correct? God heard their cries. Right? And now they're saying, oh, that we would have died there. It was so much better there. We sat by the flesh pots and we ate bread to the full. And so we see that they're murmuring, and we see that they have this idea that we're going to die of hunger. The end of verse number 3. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Now, not only had God miraculously delivered his people, but he had just healed the bitter waters of Marah. By the way, they thought they were going to die there, right? And God had miraculously healed those waters so that they could have drink, and then in just a matter of time, now we're going to die of hunger. Isn't it amazing? To see the perspective of the children of Israel, to see the negativity. It is interesting to know, as we look through the entirety of the passage and make note of various statements that are made here throughout the passage, it is of interest in verse number 12, and we must understand this, that God knows everything. You notice that the Scriptures say that they murmured against Moses and Aaron, but really their complaint was against God. Why? For it was God that was leading them. We find that the Bible tells us in verse number 12, God is speaking. He says, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. He knows everything. Amen? He is omniscient. As we look at the passage of Scripture, I would readily admit that the problem that they faced was a real problem. It was a real problem. They did not have any food. We understand that I believe that there was some level of exaggeration, there was some despair, and we find that they respond in a manner that is not appropriate, but we find that it was a real problem. Listen, we face real problems in life. I would submit to you this evening that the Red Sea was a real problem for the children of Israel. I would submit to you this evening that the bitter waters of Marah was a real problem for the children of Israel. Just as this situation was a real problem that they faced. We face problems, but we have a God who is able. The same God who handled the Red Sea, the same God who handled Pharaoh's army, the same God who healed those bitter waters, certainly he's able to provide food. Amen? So we see the provision, number 2, the provision. We see the problem. But we find that the provision, in verses 4 and 5, and then we'll skip down and read a few verses later in the passage, But we find that with the provision came some instruction. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." Isn't that amazing? I mean, just pause and just think about that. See, here's the problem sometimes in our own lives is that we know about manna. Right? We know, oh yeah, they had manna. In fact, many of us could talk about the fact that they had it for 40 years, right? We know at the end of the passage it talks about that. As soon as they entered into the land of promise, the manna ceased and they ate from the fruit of the land. And we studied that as we went through the book of Joshua. But can you imagine being there? God said, I'm going to rain bread from heaven. This is not a normal thing. It's a miraculous thing. God is showing His power. God is showing His ability to care for His people. And we find the Bible says that He would rain bread from heaven for you. And notice, it says, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, even, that ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt, and in the morning then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that He heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against Him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron in verse 9, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Notice what he says that he's going to do. He says, speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. Remember what they said when they complained. They said that they were in Egypt, and they sat by the flesh pots, and they did eat bread to the full. And God said, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread. Notice the end of verse number 12, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Not only does He know everything, but He desires for us to know Him. He desires for us to know Him. He desires that we would know what He is capable of doing. He desires that we would trust Him, that we would fully rely upon Him, that we would live by faith, that we would obey Him. We find that the Bible tells us in verse number 13, and it came to pass. Isn't that a wonderful statement in Scripture? And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay round about the host. That phrase in Scripture that you often find, it came to pass, is a comforting reminder that everything that God says, He will do. He promised that He would provide for His people, and He gives the instruction to Moses as to how He will do it. And then the Bible says it came to pass. He does what He says He will do. He's never failed, and He never will. Amen? And we find that, listen, the reality is that He may not provide for you or me the way that we think He should, but He always does right. His way is perfect. Amen? We find here in verse number 14, it says, and when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. In verse number 35 of the passage of Scripture, the Bible says, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. It's interesting that in just a little while they would be complaining about the manna. In fact, it was an often complaint of the children of Israel. They didn't like the way that God had provided for them. They loathe this bread. Right? That's what they say. And the reality is that God had miraculously provided for them, and they would eat this manna for 40 years. I mentioned that with the provision came instruction, and that's where we come to our final point this evening, and that is the proving. We see the problem, we see the provision, but we see the proving. This is where I want to spend the remainder of our time this evening. Remember in verse number 4 that as God was revealing to Moses what it was that he would do, he says that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Remember the title in which we've used this evening for our message, would you have passed the test? As we look at this proving and we understand what God was proving them about, the testing, the trying, it was whether or not they would walk in His law. It was really, it was a test of faith. It was a test of obedience. Are you going to believe me? Are you going to obey me? Right? I mean, that's really what the test is. That's how God is proving His people here in Exodus chapter 16. And I would submit to you this evening that God continues to prove His people. In fact, before the feeding of the 5,000, He says that Jesus asked this question to prove Him. For He Himself already knew what He would do. Remember what the sight answer is of the disciples on that particular day? 200 pennyworth isn't enough that each would just have a little, right? We don't have enough. The mindset of the disciples was to send them away, right? God said He asked this question to prove Him. This evening, as we look at this proving, and really we would say that the test is a test of faith, it's a test of obedience. Will we believe God? That's what faith is, taking God at His word, believing God. Will we obey God? If we disobey God, it really reveals that we don't believe God. Would you agree with that? If we don't obey Him, it's really revealing that we don't believe Him. We don't believe that He will do what He said He will do. We find in the passage of Scripture that some passed the test. Isn't that good? Some passed. The Bible actually records for us in verse number 16, as we get some of the instruction, this is the thing which the Lord had commanded, hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of you of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it till the morning. So there's some instruction. We find that there are some that passed the test. We're going to skip down to read of some that passed the test, because the very next verse shares with us about some that failed the test. So skip down with me and look in verse number 24. And really, let's back up to verse number 23, because this is dealing with the sixth day and the fact that they were to gather a double portion. We saw that in verse number 5 when God had initially given the instruction to Moses. Moses then gives it to the people in verse 22. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe that you will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Now, until the sixth day, what happened with anything that you left over? It stank. Grew worms, right? We'll read it in just a moment. You can see that in verse number 20. The Bible tells us that that's what happened. And so we find that here they come to that sixth day, and the Bible tells us in verse number 24, and they laid it up till the morning as Moses bade. And I love the rest of the verse. And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. They obeyed God. They passed the test. Can I tell you that on that first week, that first sixth day, what would you have done? You knew that on day number 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, anyone within the congregation, and by the way, there were some that did store it up, that it stank and it bred worms. What would you have done? So if I store it up on day 4, it spoils, it stinks, it bred worms. But on day number 6, God said, store it up. Am I going to pass the test? Or I'm going to fail the test? Am I going to believe God? Am I going to obey God? Amen? Listen, I believe on the second week, it would have been a lot easier to store up. Right? Why? Because you saw what happened. Correct? But I'm talking about the first week. I'm talking about the first 6th day. What would we have done? Would we have believed God? Would I have believed God? Again, as I said by way of introduction, I'd love to say yes, absolutely. I would have done exactly what God said. But would I have? Would you? Do I? Do you? The Bible says, as we continue to look at those that passed the test in verse 25, and Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. They had provision that day. Why? Because they exercised faith. Because they obeyed God. They believed God, and they obeyed God. And therefore they had provision. Isn't that wonderful? Again, we're familiar with Exodus 16. We're familiar with manna. We are familiar with most of the text of Scripture, and we understand what's going on. But I wonder this evening, when we really break down and consider the proving aspect of this passage of Scripture, and we find that God says, yes, there's a problem, and yes, I can provide, but I'm going to prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Will they believe me? Will they obey me? Some passed the test. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful for those that have gone before us that have walked by faith, that have obeyed the Lord and His Word, that have lived a life of obedience. We sing the song. In fact, we sang it Sunday evening after we had the baptisms. Trust and obey, right? That's faith and obedience. Believing what God said and obeying Him. And here we find that there were some that passed the test. Unfortunately, there were some that failed the test. Go back to verse number 20. There were some that failed in those first 5 days. We don't know exactly which day it was, but we do see that the Bible says, notwithstanding in verse number 20, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning. Now let me ask you, why would they leave it until the morning? They didn't believe it was going to come tomorrow. Why else would you leave it until the morning? You don't believe it's going to come, or you're lazy and you don't want to go get it. I mean, that's the only other option I could think of. If you can think of other options, I'm more than happy to hear them. But the only two options I could think of is, one, they don't believe it's going to be there, or two, they're too lazy to go get it tomorrow. So they say, I'm going to store it up. I believe that most likely it was reason number one, that was what they were guilty of, is that they didn't believe it would be there the next day. Why? Because it's a test of faith. It's a test of obedience. And so what do? Well, they gather more and they store it up. And the Bible says in verse number 20 that those people that did not hearken unto Moses, that they stored it up, they left it until the morning, that it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. Now let me ask you a question. Was the instruction difficult? It's not hard, right? God says, I'm going to rain, I'm going to send. Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. But here's the instruction. On day 1 through 5, you gather this amount. You don't store it up. You're going to have to get it on day 1. You have your provision. And then next day, 2, you have your provision. But on day number 6, you're going to gather twice as much, a double portion, as opposed to, it's not hard instruction. I would submit to you this evening that most of the instruction in God's Word really isn't hard. It really isn't. It's not hard. It's not challenging. It's not difficult from a, if we're going to put it on a scale of difficulty from 1 to 10, it's not breaking the scale on difficulty. This was pretty simple instruction. But it required faith, and it required obedience. But remember, as God's people, the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. But living by sight is so much easier. But living by faith is such a blessing, because we get to see what God can do. By the way, these people that lived by sight, they found out in a hurry it wasn't easier, because it bred worms and stank. Now, the same group of people that failed the test, on day number 6, they were to gather a double portion. But perhaps they say, well, I know what happened to these guys over here, and they stored up a double portion a couple of days ago, and it stank and bred worms, and so I'm going to take my chances, and I'm going to go try on the seventh day to find my provision. Because the Bible tells us in verse number 27, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. Why did they go gather on the seventh day? Because they didn't store up a double portion, right? If they had stored up a double portion, if they had followed, if they had believed God, if they had obeyed God, there would be no reason for them to go out on the seventh day to try to gather. They would have had their provision. Those that passed the test in verse number 24 and 25, they had the provision for that seventh day. Moses said, that's what you eat. That's your provision. And so there's a group of people, we don't know, it says some of the people, that they go out on the seventh day, they go to gather, and they find none. And I want you to notice what God says in verse 28. The Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. I'm not interested in speaking about the 39 years and 51 weeks of manna. I'm interested mostly with the first week. Because that's when the test was initially given. Again, on that second week, it would have been easy to learn from what happened on week number 1. But I wonder in week number 1, what would I have done? I ask you to ask the same question. What would I have done? I'm there. I'm an Israelite. I've experience these things that have happened, and we have no food. We think that we're going to die of hunger, and God says, here's what he's going to do. It's something that I've never seen happen before. God gives instruction with this miraculous provision. Would you have passed the test? Some did. Glory to God. Some failed. I wonder this evening, in my life, in your life, how is God proving us? How is God proving us? How is he testing us? How is he trying us? What is it that he's laid before us to see? Are they really going to believe me? Is my child, are they really going to believe me? Are they going to obey me? This evening, I wonder, am I walking in his ways? Remember, that's what God said. He said that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Would I say this evening, not pridefully, but I say this evening that I'm living by faith, that I'm believing what God said in his word, that I'm believing that he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that I'm believing that he will provide for me, that he will take care of my needs, that He is the Lord God omnipotent? Am I believing His word? And am I obeying His word? Am I living a life of obedience? See, this evening, we have the privilege of reading of an account that took place thousands of years ago in seeking to learn from history, to learn from this event in the nation of Israel's history after they had miraculously crossed over the Red Sea and they now are in this position where they have no food and they think they're going to die of hunger. And we have the privilege, because God has given us His recorded word, He has preserved it for us, that we can see they had a test. Some passed it. Some failed. And this evening, if we could put ourselves into the account, would we have passed the test? I believe this evening, each of us, you probably would say with me, I'd love to just immediately say, absolutely. I would have done it exactly like He said. But I think it's important that we really examine and say, well, what about today? It's easy for us to look back at the children of Israel and say, oh, I wouldn't have done that. Oh, I would have done that. But today, am I living by faith? Am I living a life of obedience? Am I doing that which pleaseth the Lord? Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. He wants His children to be different. We live by faith, not by sight. Amen? And this evening, as we look at this familiar passage of Scripture in Exodus 16, I think the Lord challenges me, and I hope He's challenging you. Would we have passed the test? Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You that You are the Lord God omnipotent. We thank You that You do all things well, that You always do that which You say You will do. And this evening, as we take a few moments to examine this passage of Scripture and to consider the events that the children of Israel experienced 2.5 months after leaving Egypt, they were given a test. Some passed. Some failed. God, I believe that even as You tested and proved the children of Israel, that You still prove Your people today. God, You want us to live a life of faith, a life of obedience. In Numbers 14, as the children of Israel have doubted with that evil report of the 10 spies, You give us insight with regard to Your desire for Your people. How long will it be ere they believe Me? God, help us to be like Paul. I believe God. Help us to live a life of faith and a life of obedience, believing that You are who You say You are and You will do what You said You will do. Help us not to be influenced by this culture, by the ideologies that permeate our society. Help us to obey that which we find in Romans 12, that we would not be conformed to this world. God, that You would help us to have a biblical worldview, and that You would help us to live by faith, simply trusting, believing You. I pray that You'd bless our time of prayer. We thank You for the privilege of prayer. I pray that You'd be glorified through the remainder of our service, and it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.